Hello and welcome to Besotted Geek. I'm Stork, but I'd rather be Chris Pine. Today's show, I'll be talking about the weekend's box office, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, the recent video game release, the PGA Championship that just took place, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, and our number one comic today will be Avengers. So let's kick off with the box office for the weekend. And I've got the top 10 here. New release, Fast X, made $67,500,000. What's wrong with you people? Why are you still watching these movies? They're garbage. I haven't seen one. Well, I saw part of the first one, and that was enough. The 10th, come on. Really? Why are we making this like one of the top grossing franchises of all time? It's pretty sickening. Anyway, number two, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 made another about $32 million for a total of about $266 million out for 3 weeks. I don't know what it cost. Yeah, that's one thing I don't have is like what it cost to make these movies. So I don't know how great that is. $266 is weird to say, but it sounds low, but it's only been 3 weeks. So I think they'll probably, I don't know, will they get to half a bill? Probably not. I expect this to be on Disney Plus in a month or two. So that's when things slow down, right? We'll see. Number three is the Super Mario Brothers movie. It made another $10 million-ish for a total of almost $550 million, which is crazy. And I haven't contributed to that or any of these, really, yet. But this is one that I didn't really care about, but it seems to have good word of mouth, and I will probably watch it once it gets on a streaming service. Universal Pictures, I don't know who they're tied to, but I'll give it a watch once it comes out. Next up, we have at the four spot, Book Club, The Next Chapter, made $3 million for a total of $13 million. This is like the old ladies, right, with the reading books and things. I don't know. I think my mom liked the first one, so that tells me all I need to know. Fifth, Evil Dead Rise made about $2.4 million for a total of $64 million. That's not too bad for a horror movie. And I didn't really care about it. I'm an Evil Dead fan, but I'm more of an Ash Williams fan. So when I don't see Bruce Campbell attached to starring in an Evil Dead movie, it's kind of hard for me to get into. The first remake, reboot one, Evil Dead, it was all right, but it was more just upping the gore and body horror and special effects than actually developing a character, I felt. So it felt out of place, and this one looked like it was just going to be some more of that. So I really wasn't, I'll watch it eventually, sure, but I wasn't really keen to continue with this franchise without Bruce. And I don't know if he's even thinking about it. Would be cool if they did a tie-in with the new movies and the old ones somehow. But anyway, number six, John Wick Chapter 4, made another $1.3 million for a total of $185 million. I don't know if that's good or bad for John Wick movies. I don't really care about John Wick movies. I saw the first one. I don't get the hype for it. I thought it was pretty basic. There's a lot of Keanu love. I still just don't see him as a great actor. Sorry. I can't really take the guy that seriously. He seems like a good dude in real life. I'll give him that. At seven, we have Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. Based on the book, of course, $1.3 million for a total of $18.7 million. It's not in my wheelhouse. Eight, Hypnotic. No idea what this is. $825,000 for a total of $4 million. It's probably just like a generic horror movie from Ketchup Entertainment. So, yeah, I no idea what that is. Nine, Love Again. Made $400,000 for a total of $5.9. It's a screen gem, allegedly. Well, that's a production group, anyway, or distributor. Love Again. Is this a sequel to Love Actually? I don't know. 10. Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves made $385,000 for a total of $92.9-ish million from Paramount. I think I saw somewhere that it cost $150 to make. So, yikes. I don't think we'll be getting a sequel, which is a shame because I watched it, and I'll talk about that in a bit, but it wasn't too bad. Let's move on to... Yeah, let's talk about Dungeons & Dragons. What the hell? Yeah. New sound effect. And I thought it was fun. It was okay. It was nothing... I wouldn't write home about it. And I wouldn't say it sucks. I feel like I'm missing some in-jokes, but I also got some in-jokes. Like when Owlbear showed up. Or is it Bear? I think it's Owlbear. I immediately said, oh, Owlbear. And Peacock looked at me and was like, what are you talking about? So I just through pop culture osmosis, I got that one because I never played Dungeons & Dragons. We're playing Gloomhaven right now, which is kind of like it, but I don't know. I like the cast. I thought the cast was really good. Worked well together. I'm not a big Michelle Rodriguez fan. I just don't think she's a great actress, but she didn't have to do a lot in this one, so I didn't really mind her that much. Chris Pine, charismatic as hell, as usual. I really like Sophia Lillis as Doric, the changeling, for lack of a better term. And the magician guy was cool. Simon, I don't know who that guy is. I think he's been in a Jurassic World movie. I don't remember because those movies are largely forgettable. And even the guy from Bridgerton showing up, he kind of stole the show a little bit when he was in it. He wasn't in it that much. But Hugh Grant was amazing in it as just a scummy asshole charm, but very charming, much like in Eddie Redmayne. And yeah, so that was fun. It was a fun movie. I thought it might have been a little long. It might have drug a little bit, but I enjoyed it. And I think we'll talk more about it on the movie episode this month, which on patreon.com/episodeofgeek, which will be Leprechaun 6 Back to the Hood, I believe is what we're going to do. So tune in for that. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about it for now. If you're a RPG type fan, a Dungeons & Dragons fan, give it a go. Even if you're just a fantasy fan, like a Lord of the Rings type thing, you might like it. And it's just a fun, kind of light, breezy movie. Sit back. It's a popcorn movie. So if you like that kind of fare, then I would say check it out. But let's move on to another event this weekend. Peacock and I have gotten into watching some golf. So let's do a little sports talk. Watch out. Sports ball ahead. So we watched the PGA Championship, and we don't watch Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Obviously not Thursday, Friday, because we're busy during the day. Saturday, sometimes a little bit we'll tune in, but Sunday it's kind of like, okay, around 3 o'clock or so, we'll throw on whatever tournament's on and just watch the last round and usually root for the guy in second, unless the guy in first is somebody we really know and like. But I had some takeaways from this old PGA Championship. Was it Oak Hill? I think it was Rochester, New York. And the big story is not who won, although it was a big story who won too, especially for the winner. But this PGA, not even a tour player, more of a member of the PGA. The people who teach at country clubs, run the country club, run the golf course at the country club, or just a golf club, golf pros, they call them, but they're not out there on the tour every week. But this guy, Michael Brooks, he made the cut, so he was playing Saturday, Sunday. He was playing with Rory McIlroy the last day, one of the best golfers in the world, and holding his own. He was hovering around even par. I think the final score for the winner was, I really can't remember because the story was this guy. I want to say it was around 9 under, fluctuated back and forth a bit. But he was 2 over, and I think he hit a hole-in-one, unlike any hole-in-one I've ever seen, on either the 14th or the 15th hole to get to even par. And basically, the top 15 finishers are exempt the next year, so you don't have to do all these qualifying, crazy qualifying matches. You just get invited to the PGA Championship next year, one of the four majors in golf, if I didn't mention that. And he just hit this par-3 shot. It went straight into the hole. I don't think it touched the flagstick. It clipped, it like tore up part of the hole. It just went plop right in. It was crazy. I've never seen that before. And from the rest of the way, he had like, I think he had three or four holes left, and everybody was just on this guy. Like, come on, we're rooting for him. And it was so cool to see because, okay, yeah, he's running a golf club somewhere, so he's not hurting for cash, but he's not like these other players that are making $1 million a week or anything like that. So, and plus he's just playing to, I don't know, not for honor, but just to be there is something special for a guy like that. So it was so cool to see, and he actually ended up just a long par putt on the 18th hole to break even. And he won his exemption, and it was so sweet afterwards. He was interviewed, and he was his son sent him video from he shot from his phone of the clubhouse where he worked and all the people backing him and cheering him. And that's when he teared up, and it was like, ooh, that got me too. Like, I didn't shed a tear or anything, but it was like very emotional. And that's one of the things. And even Peacock was like, that's one of the cool things about golf is there can be a kind of like a Joe Schmo, and he's just got just as good a chance as anybody else to win. You don't see amateurs just, you're not going to have like an amateur on a football in an NFL team just out of the blue. 1 week that they're just there and, hey, you get a chance, buddy. That doesn't happen. Like even like tennis and stuff. I don't know that they do have, maybe tennis does, but I think it's more conducive to a sport like that or golf where it's you against the world. So you're not dragging down somebody else probably, but that's what's kind of cool about golf is they do have invites and amateurs at these big tournaments and they can win. And, or this guy didn't even win, but it was the story of the tournament. I think next year they'll talk way more about this than whoever won. Well, I'll get to that. I'll just say it right now. Brooks Koepka, it's his fifth major, which I don't even remember this guy. I know I haven't watched golf in a while, but he's won five majors. That's pretty big. I don't know if you know this, but not a lot of people have done that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's something crazy, which I was shocked. I want to say it's like only 20-some players have ever won five majors before, which sounds crazy to me, but I grew up with Tiger Woods when he's just winning a major, like three, four majors a year sometimes. So, well, the Tiger Slam was over the course of a year. He had all four major titles at one point. It wasn't all in 1 year, but yeah, that's nuts. So kudos to him too for winning. He played really well. It was kind of what I root for when I watch. Like I said, if I don't have any interest in who's leading, is I just want some drama. And this had a lot of drama, especially from what Michael Brooks was going through. And then even there were some points in it where it looked like Koepka fell apart a bit and somebody else had a chance, but nobody took advantage of the chances that they have whenever he did falter a little bit down the stretch. So it was a good tournament, though. It was one of the better ones as of late, one of the closer ones. So the next big one, I believe, is going to be the U.S. Open. I don't know where it's at. Next week is something really stupid sounding. It's like the Charles Schwab Challenge or something. I don't know. So I'm sure we'll watch a bit of it on Sunday, but it's not anything big. But that's it for golf. Oh, wait, one more point on the golf. So these guys are very heavily sponsored. A lot of MasterCard hats we saw that Peacock knows that. A lot of Nike wear and stuff like that. And the one thing that really stuck out to me and made me question, like, would I do that? I don't think I would, was Scottie Scheffler, one of the better golfers. He seems to be up there in the leaderboard every week that I've seen so far. And he's got his Nike gear on. But the shirt on the back has got the TW, the Tiger Woods logo. And it's like you're wearing the shirt of a guy that's your competitor. I don't know if I could do that or would. It struck me as odd. And I'm sure he's getting paid to wear Nike gear. But I would be like, I'll wear Nike gear, but does it have to be the Tiger Woods line? I'm playing with the guy. If he was retired And he wasn't even in this tournament, I don't believe. He's been battling injuries for a long time now. But he might have played the first 2 days. He was definitely not in the final 2 days, or if he was, not a factor, to the point where if he was playing even poorly, they would have shown a couple shots of his on Sunday, and I didn't see any. So I don't even think he was in it at all. But would you really wear the shirt of a modern contemporary? That seems, I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. I wouldn't. I think it's pretty weak. Like, be your own guy, man. I'd rather wear like a JCPenney's polo. Does that still a store? I don't know. I don't think it is. Anyway, that's it for the golf. Let's move on to some gaming. And I'm just realizing I don't think I have a video game sound effect. I just downloaded a bunch of new ones, and I don't think I have one for that. So
what the fuck did I do wrong?
Yeah, Arnold, my bad. Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom came out recently, about a week ago or so, and Peacock and I have been playing it, passing the controller back and forth between shrines and stuff like. Very much a successor to Breath of the Wild, which we loved and played. I think we played 3 times together, and each of us played it separately. And it's the same world, it's the same graphics, everything, but they've added some new mechanics, and I'm not sure about them. The main mechanic is building things. It's very, I like to call it Zelda Minecraft is what it is. And if you watch TikTok or YouTube, there's lots of videos of people building crazy machines with all these things you can do. I just don't have time for that. I'm sorry. I'm playing the game. I want to get through the missions, the side missions. I'm fine with doing side missions, fetch quests, all that stuff. But I don't want to spend 20 minutes building a cart to send a person 30 feet down the road in an interesting way. I don't care. Now, some of the shrines, which are like little puzzles, they require you to build things, and I'm fine with that. It's kind of teaching you the mechanic as you play, and it's like a puzzle. They're all puzzles, so I get it. But when you're out in the real world, it really feels like it slows down the game when you have to. And when I say have to, you don't a lot of the times. When you're out in the real world, quote unquote, the main world, a lot of times you don't. There's alternatives, which I like. So some people can play creative as they want to be, and some people like me can just be like, well, I'm just going to climb the mountain and drink potions so I have stamina to keep climbing. there's a new one that instead of climbing, if you get to a cave or get under something, you can swim up through it instead of having to climb, which is really handy, although I forget to use it some of the times. Attaching anything in your inventory to a weapon, basically, especially arrows. You shoot an arrow, you can attach anything to it. You can attach a slab of meat to it for some reason. I don't know. Maybe you want to like send it. I haven't tried this yet, but you could probably attach a steak to an arrow and shoot it, and maybe a monster would leave and go to that area where the arrow lands and eat the steak. I could see that happening. I haven't tried it yet. Maybe I will. But that takes time too. It's not automatic. And I would much rather just be able to flip through my arrow inventory and be like, okay, I need a fire arrow, an ice arrow, or a shock arrow, or a regular arrow. Boom, done. Instead, you have to scroll through so many different choices to get to, and you can organize it based on most used and things like that, but still, it takes time. I don't know. As of now, I still prefer Breath of the Wild, but this one is bigger, and there's a lot to do, and we're just scratching the surface. We just got to the first main dungeon, and we've probably put in 20 to 40 hours, I'd say. It may be on the 20 side, but there's a big world. Sky Islands are new, and there's a whole underground that we've barely explored. So it's cool. It's fun. It's fun remembering certain areas from Breath of the Wild, because like I said, the main world is very similar to the one in Breath of the Wild. They've just added a couple different wrinkles on the main world, and then also the whole underground and certain islands that float above it that you can get to. So it's good so far, but I'm not putting it above Breath of the Wild just yet. I'm not really ready to give it a 10 out of 10 masterpiece that IGN did, but I realize that I am not the current generation of gamer that this is really made for, which kind of saddens me because it seems like it's built for people who love Minecraft and being able to build whatever your imagination can do, which I get. And I'm glad that they didn't leave me behind by making you do it. You can still play it the sloppy way that I'm used to. So it's a good game, though. I would still recommend it as of now. But I'm not ready to give it Breath of the Wild's crown as possibly the best Zelda game, which I think that is maybe up there with man, I really like Link to the Past. I should do a tier of Zelda games, though. I haven't played them all because they made so many on Game Boy when I wasn't a Game Boy player. I had already passed up the Game Boy, and I'm more of a console guy, honestly. So there's some on there I've tried. At least one of them, and I got pretty far, but then I fell off. So I couldn't really honestly rank them all. There's a lot of them. Maybe I could just do console ones, because I think I have played every console Zelda game to this point. So that could be a future tier. All right, let's move on to... Do you hear that? It's pages turning. Our number one comic for today, and it is Avengers. New number one by Jed McKay, C.F. Villa, or Villa, Federico Blee, or Blee, I think it's, I don't know what it is, and V.C.'s Corey Pettit, or Petit. I like to give both pronunciations, or all, as many as I could think of. And a synopsis in a sentence. The team take on Terminus between flashbacks of being recruited by new leader, Captain Marvel. So I'll go over my pluses and minuses and kind of talk about the book as I go. Minus. Lame character descriptions on title page. So we get a little background of Captain Marvel standing on the moon looking at the Earth and how it's a fragile marble and all that stuff. And the Avengers assemble and there's fighting Terminus. And then we get the Avengers title page. And they have all the characters of the team on the left, which I like. It's a nice, here's the roster before you even really know who the roster is. And they give you their names, but then it's all these, I'll just go through them. The Star, Captain Marvel. The Icon, Captain America. And it's Falcon, Captain, it's Sam Wilson, Captain America. The Witch, Scarlet Witch. Seems redundant. The Construct, The Vision. The God, Thor. The Engineer, Iron Man. That seems off to me, too. The King, Black Panther. Like, just tell me who it is. Scarlet Witch. Maybe give, like, a little tiny description of their power or their real name. I don't know. It just seemed off to me. Another minus. There's like, for the most part, it's well-written. I think I'd probably even give it a plus on how well-written it is. But there's like this really little odd bit of dialogue when Carol is recruiting Tony. And she says, it seems like she's convinced him. Like, you're my first pick. And he says, seriously, your first pick? I thought it'd be Jessica Drew, Spider-One. And she says, Jess, Rhodey, Jen, they've who I go to for Captain Marvel business. You're who I go to for Avengers business. I want you to be my XO, my number two. We've been on opposite sides before and I didn't like it. So let's work together. And I'm fine with that. That sounds cool. And then she's like, for God's sake, Tony, you're my sponsor. Of course I need you. Or you're my sponsor. Of course I need you. Even better. So it's not just because I read it badly, but I think the for God's sake, Tony, and she's smiling. It seems like very drastic to say that to him. And it seems like he's already like flattered and willing to do it. I don't know. It just felt weird to me for some reason. It's not how I would have put it. And this is like the only recruitment that I think is off. The rest of them, I think I gave pluses to actually a lot of them. So then we flip back to her and Tony fighting Terminus. Everybody's there, but they focus, basically the flashbacks focus on her recruiting one of them, and then they go to the present where they're fighting this huge Terminus monster guy, and he wants energy, and he's at this Pegasus compound, and it shows her fighting with the person that she recruited in the previous scene. So then she goes to Thor, and this is good. I gave this a plus, like good Carol Thor moment. And she's like, why do you want to be an Avenger? Is it because our Mayfly lives that you outlive so much and it makes you want to protect the people that you know and care about because we're so fragile. And he's like, yes. And she's like, I knew it, because she had said that before. And it just, that felt good. I think he writes Carol really well in this. It's probably another one of my pluses. I'm getting ahead of myself, but the Carol T'Challa recruitment too. So, I mean, obviously after that, we flashed to Thor doing some stuff against Terminus Lightning, blah, blah, blah. And then she recruits T'Challa, who is kind of he's just out at sea saying how he didn't want to be found, but she was like, well, you made it easy to find because I think you want to be an Avenger again. And he's no longer king of Wakanda. So it gives you enough as a number one to fill in the blanks of where the characters are at this point without having to have read their books. You can kind of go with the flow. And that's what I want. I don't need to be bogged down by the last 20 issues of Black Panther or Thor or whatever, because guess what? I'm not reading them. I'm jumping into a number one. I know the characters a bit, mostly because of the movies, but also having read some things. So you just need to catch me up on what's been going on a bit and make it make sense. And I think Jed McKay does a really good job throughout the book of that. Bigger ones like Tony, you just know Tony Stark is Iron Man at this point, right? It's permeated popular culture and consciousness. So, I mean, most of these ones are Avengers that you've seen in the movies and TV shows and things like that. So you don't need a ton of background, but he gives you enough. And the main thing is he gets the voices of the characters really well. So, yeah, the interactions with her and T'Challa are really good because he's on outs of the Avengers. He kind of like screwed them over in some way. So there's that. Although T'Challa to me might be the worst written of them. I gave that a minus. When they flash forward to his job in fighting Terminus, he's trying to save scientists. He's in the complex, this Project AIM complex. He's trying to figure out why Terminus is there, what's going on. And he like gives this speech to this old lady, like, hey, I need the most senior engineer to come with me. And that's me, but I'm not cut out for this kind of thing. I'm not like you, I'm afraid. I understand your fear. I too am afflicted by fears of how my ancestors, the unspoken truth of the Panther, judge my actions or how my descendants will judge me. And it's like, dude, there are robot dogs flying around. There's a huge monster outside trying to suck up the energy of this place. It's falling to shit. This old lady shitting her pants, and you're like pausing to give this profound speech. It should be like, come with me if you want to live. So it just felt it felt off. And we'll move on to the recruitment of Captain America, Sam Wilson. This is fun. Sam and Steve Rogers are fighting, you know, it's very Rocky, ding ding. Apollo and Rocky fighting in a ring, just boxing, sparring. Carol comes in. Hey, Cap. And hey, Cap. Hi there, Cap. What's up, Cap? How you doing, Cap? Hey, Cap. You met Cap yet? Yeah, I've no Cap. The first time it's done, even Steve is like, this bit was old when I was a kid, the whole who's on first thing. That's fun. McKay does it again in a bit, and it's like, okay, it works the first time. Don't lean on it too much. It's a one note joke. You even have Captain America say it is. So just let it lie, but it hits the first time. So I like that. And then plus the teamwork fighting Terminus and the banter between them while they're doing it, it felt good. It felt right. It felt like an Avengers movie playing out on the page. And yeah, like I said, he's got most of the voices down. They work as a team well. So, yeah, it was pretty good. And I got something about the art. I give it a plus because it's pretty good. Like, the character designs, the pencil work, everything like that's good. So, to me, sometimes the colors seemed a little dull, and it almost seemed like a little blurry. Like, it wasn't in focus or something. So, I still gave it a plus because overall, I think it's really good. But that's just something to look at. And plus, Carol is really good, at least at recruiting. I'm ready to suit up for her. I really think he writes Carol well. Like, she's very likable, and she seems to be, like, made to be a leader. And that makes sense. Plus, we got Vision being a badass. He just swoops in, and, yeah, he just beams Terminus and kind of knocks him on his knees. It's pretty cool. Just his appearance in the present after the recruitment page, it really pops. Plus, we get Terminus mentioning a convergence, and then somebody else, I think the scientist lady is like, oh, yeah, we're the project Pegasus is, we're making a black hole reactor. And it's just like, oh, this is not good. This, nothing good can come from this. So it's the stakes are pretty high right out of the gate, and that's why you would have the Avengers here, right? So, yeah, Minus, not a great time for jokes, T'Challa. He says, do you want the good news or the bad news? Well, there is no good news. I never have good news. And Carol's like, oh, so we're doing jokes now. And it just, that felt off to me. It's, I don't want Black Panther to be jokey, especially in this situation. And the fact that McKay has Carol call him out on it, I think he should just realize that that's not right. So why even put it in there? Plus, Scarlet Witch looks great. When they go to recruitment, I love the way she's drawn. She just looks terrific. I think she has the best character design. And, of course, in the present, she's super powerful. She needs help because the magnetic field around Project Pegasus is messing up with her magic, so she can't just magic this black hole reactor away. And in the end, Carol has to fly it into space, presumably to throw it in the sun like Superman does to every problem. And it kind of explodes, and she gets sucked into a black hole or something and ends up in, it looks like a cube. I thought she was like stuck in a tesseract or something, but she's in this cube, and it's she's there with Kang the Conqueror, who is dying. And he says, we must speak. I have a warning for you. Must reach utility belt. And yeah, that's how it ends. So that's the mystery, that Carol sucked away to some other who knows where just as she got the team. Bummer, dude. So it's good, though. Overall, I think it's a very good intro to the team. It's what a number one book should be. Jen McKay hits the voices of the characters, and especially Carol Danvers. You really like her instantly. And the art's good. I wish it was a little more clear and colorful at points. I think it does as the story progresses, it gets better and better. But I think early on, it was kind of dull. The colors and even, like I said, it's just kind of blurry. I don't think it's my iPad. I just think it's the, a little line heavy, perhaps. But I'm giving it an 8.9 out of 10. I think it's a really good start. And yeah, check it out if you can. If you can't, get a hold of me and maybe I'll help you out there. That is it for today. Thanks for listening. And if you would like to follow me on Twitter at BesottedGeekPod, you can email us, BesottedGeek@gmail.com. Got a website, BesottedGeek.com. Just put up a new drink recipe for the Authority comic book series. I do have a tpublic.com/user/BesottedGeek for t-shirt designs and stuff, mugs, whatever. Support the show at patreon.com/besottedgeek. Once a month, we do a movie episode. A lot of early access stuff. I don't know. I'm doing some videos now. I put them up there first and possibly only there. I haven't decided on that yet. But check that out. And you can watch me play video games sometimes. Although I'm playing Zelda mostly now. And that doesn't, it's not, you know, Nintendo, they don't support online play that well. So you can't just stream it from the Switch. You'd have to set it all up, and I'm not doing that. We're just playing from the couch. But anyway, twitch.tv/besottedgeek. I'll get back into that eventually, I'm sure. So that's it for me today. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you later.